How long has it been since you guys saw each other?
When I got my car from you.
No, it was last year at D-Frame.
I wasn't here last
year. Oh, that was two, yeah, that
two
was 2 years ago.
I bailed on it.
That's right.
Okay, so that's right. So it was 2 years ago. Did I come in? No, and that was it, 2 years. You picked me up at the airport.
That's right.
Did you see the cat herding tweet on that?
Where?
Somebody was, yesterday, was going, what's this deal with cat herding? And they were worried. And I said, well, I don't know about what you guys are saying, but I know she drives a really crappy car.
You should come down and see it. So I gave it to Selena for the summer, and this motherfucker stopped in front of her, and the whole hood is like crumpled up. It's really sad. No. It's really sad.
Well, hopefully get the insurance to buy you a new one. But here's another funny
insurance.
So after he blogged, I gave him the car because it was like my...
He
was
sold one it to me for a dollar, which
$1.
I haven't paid you yet.
how many years ago is this?
But he blogs about the fact that... this is like 5 or 6 years ago.
Was
yes.
It really
oh, yes. 5 years ago.
It's right after and I got was, my Honda
yeah,
repoed.
But my dad, yeah. But that's what he had blogged about, the fact that his Honda got repoed, and I felt bad. And my dad had died, and we had an extra car floating around. So I called Chris, and I said, look, you get down here, drive it back.
I was floored. I get down there, and it's like this really, it's like a sort of station wagon hatchback kind of deal.
Yeah.
I was expecting a junker, and it's like really this nice car. In fact, I beat everything on the road driving back from Phoenix.
Anyway, he blogs about the fact that Steve Larson thanked him and gave me a car. He goes, everybody else is giving money to the Chris Fund online, and you guys give a buck or two. Steve Larson gives you a car. I get, Rob Koss sends me an email, and just one line, it goes, Dear Steve, may I have an airplane?
And the bastard didn't give him one.
It's like, where am I going to get an airplane?
You need to have one of these companies hit so big that you can give Rob an airplane.
Oh, wouldn't that
be
great?
Yeah, that'll be, that one's like coming.
Just say, Rob,
can
know,
I get me
I
one
remember,
first?
I was, replying to your email.
No, yes.
6 years ago. Your plane will be arriving next Thursday.
Well, so he has other questions.
We're just free associating here.
Yeah, we are. So you're going to be on stage for the first time in a long time with Doc. And is Rick Levine here too?
Yeah, Rick's here.
Okay.
David is off in Canada someplace doing another conference.
Yeah, it's too bad he couldn't make it.
Yeah,
but
JP Rangaswamy and Norlin is going to...
Moderate.
Thank you. It's a word that's not in my vocabulary.
Well, it should be fun, and we got two birthdays going on today. So
Chris's birthday and JP's.
Very cool. Well, were they ringing the xylophone for us to go back in? Or
no, that's not. When are you on?
I'm on dope.
No, when are you on stage?
Free association, Steve.
I don't think he's on yet. When does it say?
You guys are the very last thing.
So we could keep free associating then.
We want a great blog post.
We've done 333 before. Well, the last time I did this with Steve at a conference, we went on for like 12 minutes at the end of a demo. And there was a lot
of
fucks
and
F-bombs throughout. Yes.
The funniest thing. They were talking on stage yesterday. But they're basically using the word douchebag.
I saw somebody.
And then Liza says, wait a minute.
Hey, man.
I don't know what a douchebag is.
You're looking great. You're looking good.
We're being interviewed. Jump
Hi,
in
JP,
here.
Hi, JP. Graham. Happy birthday.
JP Rangaswamy joins us from the...
Yes. From
the great
state of
England.
Rick,
I thought you were going to say the state of bliss, but
that too, I'm sure.
State of perpetual sunshine. That's what it is.
The sunshine of the something.
So I just sent Kevin Marks the thing that I sent you because I didn't have his email. So first I just sent his email. I found him. Just so you know, he's got it.
Yeah, I gathered. Yeah.
So when was the last time I saw you?
2 years. This week.
Oh, was it 2 years ago for this?
2 years.
See, I got my memory is just
I told Doc that we have to recreate the photograph of reaching for those.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They're on. They're out there. They're out there on the web someplace.
You know, the climbers downstairs.
Oh, yes. Oh, that great photo from 2 years ago.
We all
yes.
underneath it.
Yes. Yeah, that was very
reaching
cool.
Reaching for the sky.
Doc yeah, was with the sculpture. Send all the pictures I had from the 1989.
Yeah, I think he posted them. I posted them later.
And I couldn't. I didn't find
it. I finally have it.
Oh, my God.
I have a forefer.
A forefer. Oh my God! It's probably the only one in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Oh wow! A signed copy by all four authors of the Clue Train manifesto.
And this is the British. This is the British edition, right?
No, no. I have a number of them that are signed by one or two. Like I have two signed by Chris, one of which is also signed by Doc. Then I have one signed by Doc and David.
David.
But I hadn't actually had
this is
a
the
copy.
U.S. edition. Why does it look so weird to me?
I guess because I just had
when
a
when you take it out of the country, the colors change.
When you take it out of the country...
When you go through the scanners.
You have to change the colors. Otherwise, people are going to say something.
I used to have about 2 dozen of the hardbacks.
Right, well, you bought them for the...
Because I bought them for the personalization summits. Yeah. And he's smart. He's always going, okay, so I've got to buy, like, we've got 1,500 people coming to this conference... And he's going to speak, but I got to buy everybody a book. And so, right? You remember that? And
did I really extort you?
No, no, it wasn't. But you know what? I gave you the same deal. But you know who did?
Yeah.
Who did was like Hegel.
Perseus.
Hegel did.
Oh,
Hegel,
right.
Hegel.
Right.
That was his deal. And actually, it was Gladwell's thing. That's how I got him to come too, because he just did Tipping Point. So I says, look, I'll buy 1,500 of the book, but then you come speak for free. And we gave the books away to the people.
John Hegel and I spoke together.
I moderated.
I think I was there, yeah.
The cool thing that Steve did is he said, Chris, I want you to talk about John's book and John talk about Chris's book.
So they both had to read Chris's book.
I hadn't read it. But it was the...
Had he read yours?
Oh, yeah, he actually had. And we had this great conversation. And at the end of it, this was just before he jumped ship from McKinsey and went to something that didn't work. But at the end of it, he said, you know, from my time at McKinsey, dealing with the kinds of companies that Clue Train is talking about, he goes, I can corroborate. This is absolutely the mindset. And he goes, but I want to tell you, these guys aren't going down without a fight. Yeah. And it was like the hair on the back of my head stood up. It was like, this is the horse's mouth telling you, they're going to get the big guns out now. So it's been fun so far, but now there's going to be blood in the streets.
So you guys want to know background? You always think of John Hegel as being, you know, this, you know, McKinsey partner, all that. Right?
I was totally scared of him. He turned out to be the sweetest guy.
You want to know something else? A little inside information? He was also the president of the California SDS back in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
No shit. Yeah. California, no less.
He was the head guy with the Students for Democratic Society at Berkeley.
Jeez.
Wow. I see.
Yeah. He sort of hit that well, didn't he? Unlike myself. It's like I can still be there.
The equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
Oh, Jones is a nice guy.
Oh, he's a terrific guy.
I was floored. He gave me he handed me a letter that was a blurb for Clue Train, and unfortunately it was too late to make it onto the book. And he called me outside and he said, I want to make sure you have this. And I read it. It was just the most glowing thing, and it was a pity that it couldn't be on the book, but he was just really
cool. Good guy, still active,
cool guy.
Still writing back, he's collaborating.
I had dinner with him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Really? If you see him again, tell him Chris Locke says hi. I've sort of tried to stay in touch, but I'm like...
And the interplay between him and John Seely Brown actually makes for a very creative combination.
Yeah, they're good together. They really are.
John Seely Brown was saying really good stuff early on about all this.
Mm-hmm. The book before Clue Train for me...
The secret life of documents or something like that?
No, it's the social life of information.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was him and Paul Duguid, and I don't know, but I pronounced it right, Duguid.
Yeah, right.
I haven't met the guy, but C.D. Brown's ASB was incredible.
No, he was right on. He was saying all the right shit.
And he said something which then sort of softened me up for sort of things like emergence and Clue Train. So there was like a serendipity, you know, of the kind of thoughts that were permeating around the turn of the century.
You know what? I did a conference in...
Remembering Bangalore.
It was 1992. It was June of 92. I did a conference called Collaboration 2002.
In Copenhagen?
No, it was in San Jose, I think. And I put together this, it was like about empowerment and work groups and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is way early. The web hadn't even hit yet.
Right.
And I called up Celie Brown and I said, I'd like you to keynote this thing. And he just laughed at me. He said, how much can you pay? And I said, I don't have any money. And he goes, get out of my face. I said, let me send you this thing. So I sent him the whatever I'd put together. He called me back and he said, you have no idea how much I get for talks. And he goes, I just don't do this sort of thing. But he said, I'll keynote this. And it was, I was so and then he got called by Xerox in Rochester, New York, the headquarters, the day before be here, and he had to bail.
You know what,
negotiating with this guy,
right?
Well, trying to get him to speak in Bangalore, it wasn't the money or the agent.
You didn't speak to me.
It was getting, and no, the only reason I had to get involved, right, because everything else was dealt, because you were in Brazil or something and you needed a visa and you had about 40 minutes in San Francisco to be given a visa.
No. I was in...
You were in South America somewhere.
No, I was. I've never been to South America. Okay. I was in New Orleans. I can understand the confusion.
So it's not a foreign country.
I gave a talk to the...
Here comes Doc.
Hey! Cat's here.
I was going to wear my gold lamé sheath.
Freeform recording.
Pull off the chair. Come on. I got to run back up to our room for a minute. I'll be right, but I'll be right back. It's pretty quick.
Let's get you guys together.
Yeah, get the three of you together here.
Yeah.
Get a picture of the three of these guys.
Well, yeah.
Chris is moving, so
get right
over. Come over here.
We're breaking for pictures here, but I'm going to let it keep running.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're going to tell stories right in the middle of taking pictures.
Sure.
Do I have a smile and everything, too?
No.
Great.
Keep that number in front of you.
So we got Rick Levine, Chris Locke, and Doc Searles together here holding up their badges. Only one missing is David Weinberger, and he's off.
He's right there.
Yes, there he is. Yes.
Hit the frickin' button.
I think we should have blank expressions.
Here, Rick, there we go.
Oh, that's actually a camera?
Yeah. Oh, it's a phone.
I'm gonna do this side too.
All right.
This is
right.
Like,
cool.
They got
these phones.
They'll
do everything.
I'll show you.
Yes. Don't forget to come back.
Rick, one more.
So, Chris. So, how many languages was Clue Train translated into?
Oh man.
Like
11, Spanish, 10. Two versions of Chinese, Japanese, Korean, French, German.
Wow.
UK English.
King's English. So, and how many copies sold? What's the count? Does anyone
I've never
even
had any idea.
Does anyone
I
even?
I bought the most. And he made me buy them on Amazon.
I did no such thing.
I did buy them on Amazon.
I turned you on to Perseus, and they gave you such a shitty deal that you probably got a better deal on Amazon.
Actually, no. Again, I found out, you talk about not getting people to pay for, I never paid a speaker for a personalization summit.
Is that like, I never paid for it?
Yeah. But I mean, I had to pay expenses a couple of times. And picking people up at the airport. But I mean, we had people like the one-to-one people that were getting like $50,000 for
is
two speeches.
Is this the tangible?
Yeah.
I never paid for it.
that's a gesture.
I didn't have to pick them up at the airport. Fucking skinflint.
But you know what? It's like you always take it the next. You know, somebody's got a fee, and then you say, well. Check with your agent. You know, Malcolm Gladwell speaks at this conference for free. And they go, Gladwell speaks at this conference?
Oh, yeah, I better do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, after having bad mouth Steve, this man has been more generous to me than anyone, except
for JP.
So we're the benefactors, sort of, you know. So
I am the benefactor.
What is the, what did they call that? The patrons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gonzo Marketing, the patronage model.
You know, I sort of slid over a thing in Gonzo Marketing where I talk. I use the patron, you know, patronage. What did I call it?
Something like
underwriting that. Kind of thing. But I was talking about, you know, patrons and, like, Renaissance mm-hmm. patrons of the arts. And mm-hmm. I knew this, but I completely, like, elided it from the book that the Medici family went broke for patronage. They did. They crashed the whole family. Their fortune was destroyed by patronage.
It was by patronage?
Yeah. They broke the bank.
Well, then there was Mozart with the, what he actually got was the equivalent of about $100 a month.
Yeah, but that was big bucks.
No.
Our time.
By today's standards.
Yeah, by today's
standards. Oh, by today's standards,
yeah. You know, some scored and some didn't, just like today.
You wrote Gonzo after Clue Train or right
yeah,
before?
No,
yeah,
after.
Right after. Yeah, on the heels of.
Yeah, Perseus wanted another book for me because, you know, it was like.
Yeah.
And they picked up two more from Weinberg, too.
Yes. So how many countries did you end up going to speak? You were like globetrotting there for...
My first... I was handled by the Lee Bureau, which is like the biggest, you know, sort of like prestigious...
They're the ones I paid.
Yeah, 40. You paid them $40,000 from what I remember. Oh, yeah?
Oh, Christmas.
Oh,
how much did you see?
Oh, I saw about 15 of that. Maybe 20. Yeah. But I flew... first class from London to Bangalore, and first class was like the size of this room. these freaking like lounge recliners that were like separated by 10 feet, and the whole time this mountain of like black beluga caviar sitting out the whole flight with like iced, you know, vodka and all the little fixings and that was one of the times I went, this is real pity I don't drink. Oh, yeah. I could get so fucked up.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, and then I was on that flight. I spoke at the Direct Marketing Association in New Orleans. And it was the worst of all the times. They hated me. You can imagine. Clue Train to the Direct Marketing Association. So they freaking hated me. So I left from Denver to go there, and then I flew to Bangalore through via London. I was in the air, I think, for 40 hours. I was on the ground in India for 36. And most of that was sitting in airports in Bombay and Mumbai.
Wow.
That was a good time.
Those were
so have
days.
You picked up that I've done a whole research thing on Hindutva since we last...
I've been watching.
I haven't written it yet, but it's like, it connects with Esalen Institute.
Dangerous.
It really does, through Aurobindo. Aurobindo Ghosh.
That's from that. Huh?
Well, long before that. He spent a year in jail in 1906 for... He was a fucking terrorist.
Lots of Indians were terrorists then.
Well, no, he was like he was like one of the first, and he ran a bomb factory in like Pondicherry. No, he went there later. But anyway,
so was John Hagel. I mean,
this guy killed people, and now he's like the spiritual leader to millions. You know.
So is this research for what? A book or just
Mystic Bourgeoisie?
No.
So do you know my blog, Mystic Bourgeoisie?
Oh yeah.
I haven't written anything there for 5 months because I got sidetracked into this whole new avenue that's just connects to everything.
Well, I'm about to run out of capacity here. We're coming up on 20 minutes. But Doc just got here, so we can't stop now.
Doc needs to say, social media is essentially a crock.
Social media is a crock. I should have brought the vessel with me. God, I'm gonna sneeze.
Or you brought a croc?
Yeah, I would have been like,
I'll let Doc.
I found his social media right here.
The Doc Croc.
That's social media right here.
So one of the guys on my phone
is a mixing bowl.
Yeah, I should tell you, I just discovered Twitter lists, which I guess are mm-hmm. brand new.
Yeah,
brand
huge, new. Yeah.
So I started one called Crackpots.
You put Doc on it?
Oh, yeah. It's with a Z on the end. Crackpots.
Yeah, yes, yes.
I was searching for a cracked pot
yeah.
the other day. It's a blog about it. But
yeah.
So I got 100... I got 100 entries in it. It's all the new age spiritual bullshit.
And
your last
stuff.
Night I was like, I gotta get this to 100 before tomorrow is gonna be shot because I have to go through this thing, right? So I was sort of run out of the big name crazies. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I guess I put Harvard Business Review.
Wait till they start running for him, because I will. That's great. That's awesome. That's Jim Marianne Williamson.
Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle. And all
yeah. Exactly. Unfortunately, I have since removed it because I found some better candidates. But.
Oh yeah, they're really good.
That could be really popular.
Well, I'm hoping actually this guy.
How many of them live on the West Coast?
Oh, you'd be surprised. They're pretty well distributed this one. So this one guy runs a Urantia book site.
Uh-huh.
It's called like EPOR or something like that. He tweets yesterday, he goes, somebody named Cat Herding put me on this list of crackpots. I have a good sense of humor. He said, I've always wanted to be called a crackpot. So I said, hey, anytime, buddy.
Everyone should follow Cat Herding on Twitter, right? K-A-T.
Cat Herding on Twitter, but really Cat Herding lives on Facebook mostly.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
They kicked Chris
and
Locke.
And she is
off.
Hot.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
In August 9th, Chris Locke went dark.
It says for, that Chris Locke is in a relationship with Cat Herding and it's complicated.
It was too complicated.
Well,
Facebook couldn't handle it.
Somebody posted yesterday, I don't know who she is, but it sounds really urgent. And I wrote, she picked me up at the airport once. Her car really sucks. Which you have to be an insider to know that one.
It's the car Steve gave me.
Well, you've got to remember, she was born in 67.
That's right, yeah. Summer of love, baby. So, yeah, Chris Locke went dark August 9th for over-communicating.
Over-communicating?
Yeah, I got mail from them. Just I sent it to you, Doc. Yeah, I sent you the email.
They sent
me this thing yesterday saying, well, you know, there are limits to what some people find abusive. Unfortunately, we cannot share these limits with them. It's like the most Kafka-esque thing. It's like, guess when you're going to be nuked.
Wow.
And it's like some third-party services, you know, kind of just allow you to say anything as much as you want. But, you know, we're not like that here.
What did you say?
Bunch of fucking fascists. It's not about content. It's about... Bits? Too many posts, too many...
Bits per second? They have bandwidth issues?
It's not bandwidth. It's like how many times you have something to say.
You might hurt yourself posting.
No, it offends... Other people find it abusive. Other people who have
to be your
opted to follow you.
The unfollow button breaks?
It's not Twitter. It's Facebook.
Yeah, but it's not...
Zuckerberg, what a shithead!
You can't unfriend him.
I just read recently that he had a card that said, "I'm CEO, bitch." That's what his card said.
Oh my god! Yeah, and it recently, you know, it was made clear they started it to get girls. That's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah,
it's all the.
What we have enabled.
And here we are.
We should be down on... Just this whole panel. Let's, like, just get on our knees and flagellate ourselves. Until the blood is flowing.
We're sorry. We fucked up. We take it all back.
We just made it up.
It was a joke!
Didn't you?
We're sorry. It's been 10 years, and we feel like
we were desperate.
It's been more than 10 years.
Who was the PC in the PC area, Doc? The the marketing guru. What's his name?
Oh, Regis McKenna.
So his business card was always Regis McKenna.
Himself. Yes. Yeah.
Regis was another guy who really kind of got it early.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never met
him. I was on a panel with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he was.
And your number, he was the real old, deal. Was he your boss actually? Who's our cohort? The guy who went off and started About.com.
Yeah.
We're all gonna forget.
Too long ago.
Yeah. He was my boss at Internet MCI.
Oh.
Scott Kernan.
Oh, Scott Kernan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he took Bill Day with him, and Bill was the brains of that.
I was so pissed they didn't take me because I got stuck at MCI for a while.
Oh, did you?
I walked into his office one day and I said, "You son of a bitch, I flew down to D.C. You cocksucker. This fucking Murdoch bought into the whole thing." He says, "Come here and close the door. Sit down." And I, "Yeah, what?" And he goes, "I read about it in the paper, too." And he goes, "And it's the most fucked up thing that ever happened in the history of business." And he goes, "But I will deny that outside."
So you remember when we met, you were at IBM, I was at Prodigy. I'll tell you a quick Scott Kernan story. Kernan comes in with his bald head, and he was a Mac person. At the time, Mac was all the AOL people, and all the PC people were, you know, because Prodigy was an IBM back company, were slow to get the stuff working on the Mac. And he came in his first staff meeting with senior staff, and I was on this in his staff. I was on his staff because I ran all the communication products, bulletin boards, chat, email, all that stuff. And he comes in with this whole litany of what's wrong with Prodigy and what AOL is doing. Just one right after, boom, boom.
He was a big AOL fan.
Yeah, big AOL, and he came in and he says, "You all ought to be fired. Tell me why I shouldn't." And I go, "Well, I'll leave right now because I think you're 100% right."
So you were the only one.
I was like, he walks over me, and I didn't stand up. I sat, but I go, "I'll go." I said, you're exactly right. I think you're. Everybody else is pissed. I go, "You're right. It's all right. That's exactly right." He comes over to me, kisses me on the top of the head, and he looks at everybody else and goes, "Him, I'll keep."
Oh, my God.
The rest of you will be drowned.
Who else here blows me?
You know, when I... sometime after that, I ended up at MCI. Well, he came in. They brought him in from Prodigy to run MCI.
Yeah.
I was ready to bail from... whatever the hell I was doing, IBM, and go to Prodigy to work for Scott, because Scott got it, right?
He got it, yeah.
And this was like late at night, and I was sending email to you and to Kernit, and all of a sudden I get this message from Kernit saying, "The press release comes out tomorrow. Do not quit. Oh, no, I was at MCI, and I was going nuts.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to Prodigy, and he sends me this mail saying, "Don't say anything. The press release is coming out in the morning. I'm coming in to run your business, so I want you working with me, and we're going to kick asses and take names." And then the Murdoch thing happened, and it was all fucked up.
So there was a PC forum or something like that in Phoenix a couple years after all this, and Kern was in a group like this talking, and I was approaching from the back. He couldn't see me, and I came up right behind him, put my hand on his shoulders, and I looked around. I kissed him on the top of the head and said, "Guess." He goes, "Steve Larson." Because
you do have distinctive lips.
I'm around the tables going like...
Oh, man.
My best story about MCI was when I first came in, I was consulting to them.
Tell my IBM story. That's better. He worked for IBM for 6 months and never showed up.
They invited me to dinner to pick my brain about something, you know, but they were doing this InfoSage, it was called. Yeah. And they said, "Oh, well, you know something about text management and stuff." So they brought me into this dinner, and at the end they said, shit, you know more about this shit than we do. So within a week, they hired me. This is the fastest thing that IBM probably ever did in their whole existence.
Hired me. They don't do any fast anymore.
And then they said, okay, now tell us what you're going to do here. So I basically built the Meckler web plan again. I said, this is what I would do. And with your resources, we could really bring it up. They have like all these top executives in the internet division in my little office jumping off their chairs. They were so excited. Oh, my God, this is fucking killer. This will be phase two. And I go, oh, cool. Yeah. And I said, my boss's boss, you know, said, the copy, the 2D copy. He says, but Chris, you know, this is phase two, so, you know, we're not going to have any people or budget or anything to give you in the meantime. Is that okay with you? And I said, well, is it okay with you if I don't do anything? Yeah, just sit tight. Just sit tight. That's just sit tight.
So you couldn't get anybody there to be able to get you internet connected.
After 3 months, I worked up and down the East Coast and back to the same guy I started with to get a freaking dial-up connection to internet. The building I was in ran like 40% of the U.S. internet traffic, and I couldn't get a connection that wasn't behind their firewall using profs. Let's see, is it PF1 key and PF5? When I first sat down at that terminal, I was looking for the candid camera. You know, it's like, this is a joke, right? Profs.
I'm on TV, like, right?
You're fucking kidding me. So I went to my boss and I said, look, at home, I have a fax machine, a computer, internet connection.
So
you know,
can I just work?
I've got 14.4 at home.
That was the motto I gave you.
I am more wired than this entire operation. So I'm going to go home. You got my phone number. You got my email address. Let me know if I can do anything.
And you helped me start Palm Wild.
Sounds like Greenside, doesn't it?
Yeah. We ran out of my Facebook for a while.
I heard about it, but I didn't help you. So anyway, for 10 months... they were paying me $125,000 a year. I didn't do shit. I stayed at home. I stayed up all night. I downloaded all kinds of early internet shareware. You know, it had nothing to do with anything. Oh, I did write them a 36-point, like, manifesto, kind of like, here are all the core reasons your product is going to fail. And at the end of that year, it failed for all of those three.
Stack them up.
Well, there's a basic thing. Six months, my boss, Joe,
I remember.
Joe.
He was so straight.
Joe DeMaso. He was a good guy. He was very straight.
I'm going to get something done.
He was super straight. Some headhunter who was headhunting for Netscape back in the day, you know, when that was a big deal. I said, well, you know, my ex-boss is looking for a gig. He's really, you know, he's a pretty together guy. He goes, has he ever worked any place other than IBM? And I said, no, I don't think so. But he's been there for like 15 years. He goes, worthless. But at my six-month review, he sat me down, you know, everybody.
Get a review.
And he goes, well, Chris, you're doing pretty good. Because, but there's just one area that you could, you could use a little improvement. It's like so, like, kid gloves. He goes, you think you can come in once a week for the management meeting?
Oh my God.
I said, Joe, that seems pretty reasonable.
Oh my God.
I'll try to thank those.
Did you pay me for another six show up?
Yeah, I did. Sure.
Grab some donuts.
Wow, that was such a crazy ass time. But at MCI, when I first came in there, I was consulting to MCI because Vint Cerf turned me on to them after Meckler Web cratered. Meckler cratered his own thing. And I was brought in by Prodigy, by Delphi, by AOL, by Microsoft. They all wanted to CompuServe too. They all wanted to talk to me, and without fail, they said, "Wow, you're really connected. You know everybody in the industry. You got an amazing grasp of what's going on. You write. You do. But where do you go in the org chart? What do you do?"
That was always the problem. That's
the thing. He doesn't really fit any place.
If I told you, I'd have to kill myself.
So I was desperate. I had no money. I was, like, out of a job. And I emailed Vint Cerf and said, Vint, I'm going nuts here. Can you help me out? And he goes, my old friend Bob Harcharek has just come back into MCI.
It is.
He and Harcharek started like MCI Mail back in the ancient times.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So I started emailing with Harcharek. And he was sort of interested.
The prisoners were comparing before and after here. I'll show you something in a minute.
Look at this picture of you.
No, you'll see it in a second. Is
that the one with the beard?
Not you, it looks the same.
That's the Aunt Jemima picture that went on my blog, and it's saying that. I wish it was 18.
So I think I wrote the job description for you during Prodigy.
You did?
Yeah, I think that.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Well, I think you helped me write it, because it was so hard to figure out what the hell I was supposed
to do. Oh, when I wanted to get in there.
Yeah, because we needed a soft landing, but everybody agreed, you got to find Chris a landing spot.
But let me tell you how I sold MCI.
It's really lucky you didn't go. Real chocolate?
What? Ooh. So anyway, Bob Harcharek finally says, come on down here to Reston. We're having an in-house conference. And he goes, I'll break out for an hour and talk to you. Bob Harcharek's this like Texan shit-kicking kind of guy. Right? They brought him into MCI. They brought him back after a long hiatus. His charter was do something nuclear. They put him in charge of data services. And then the internet hit, and he didn't know fuck all. And nobody that was working there knew fuck all. So I come in my three-piece suit, and I'm like, oh, hello, Mr. Harcharek. And you know, he's like, I need this job. You know, and he says, well, Chris, here's what we're building, an online super mall. What do you think? And part of me is going, just shut the fuck up. You need the job, you know. And the other part of me said, well, Bob, it sounds like horse shit. he literally rocked back on his heels and he said, well, how much do you want and when can you start?
That's great.
That's how I got hired. He offered me a $140,000 annualized consulting contract. I said, but Bob, I want a job. I want a job.
Yeah.
He goes, son, he goes, you got to deal with HR, you got to do all this shit, you know how long that'll take?
You said, like, this
guy. This kind of money, I'm giving you the money, son, just take the money.
Oh, my God.
I told this story in front of a whole room full of MCI people with Harcharek sort of leaning against the door jamb, and he was just grinning. But, right, the first thing that they wanted to do for the online supermall was buy this. Do you remember the Macmillan directory?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Run by the weird sisters, Isabel and the guy who offed himself in the Pacific, in the Atlantic, who was Murdoch's main competition.
Oh, yes, I know you're talking about.
Maxwell.
Yeah. So it was Isabel Maxwell and her weird sister and some guy who married one of them. And they were negotiating to license this piece of shit from these guys. And every time they'd agree, MCI would agree, they'd come back and raise the price 20%. This happened like five times. And I finally said, look, let me go get you a real directory. And they said, well, what would you go after? And I said, how about Yahoo? And everybody went, well, you could get to them. And I said, well, yeah, I got a telephone. I called up and I got Yang and Philo on the phone. And I said, I'm consulting with MCI. We want to buy you.
No shit.
They said, well, you called it an interesting moment because the intellectual property cops have just discovered us on the Stanford campus. We're moving our servers out of there as fast as we can over to Sun or someplace. But AOL has just offered us $2 million in stock. I mean, there's just one problem with that. Two problems, actually. One, we hate AOL. Two, we think they'll be gone in 6 months and the stock isn't worth shit.
Wow.
Give us $1 million cash and it's yours. Yeah. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Wow.
I was like stoked. I went back to MCI and I went, I just bought Yahoo for you guys for $1 million. And they went, well, now let's think about this. We could put two guys on it. We'd have, what do they got, $500,000 URLs? We'd have that inside of 6 months.
Oh, my God.
6 months later, they IPO'd at, what, $286 million, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm. And my liaison contact sent an email saying, Chris, next time you have an idea like this, remind us to really pay attention to what you're telling us.
Jeez. Oh,
but the paradox is that and it took me 4 years to go, I could erase the $1 million.
Good shit. Good shit, yeah.
And then I went, yeah, but if I had done that and if I had run Yahoo...
Yeah.
You never would have heard of Yahoo.
It would have been funny.
I'd be like, remember back in the day of Prodigy and Yahoo?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would have been fun for about, 6 months of, like, wild prognosis.
I was on a panel with Jerry Yang, and he offered me a job at the end of it. And I said, how many people do you have? And he goes, 5. He said, do you know we have a Prodigy? 2,000? He goes, yeah, but this will be fun.
And he was
right. And he says, we have a real community. And I go, we've got a real community. You just got listings. You know? Damn.
They gave the biggest endowment to a university in the history of the world. They each gave... How much was it? It was like...
These are good.
Was it in the billions that they gave to Stanford? Yeah. I think it might have been some insane number.
Can't find them on the internet.
These are pretty good.
Yeah,
this is a real-time thing.
You guys are going to have to pick up the slack on this panel because I'm going to be so talked out by the time we get there.
So I want to start it with a little slideshow.
Okay, let me see.
So you want to see our little slideshow?
Yeah.
It needs your effect.
One of Doc's slides.
Either I give it or I was going to have Eric give it, but anyway. So.
Oh yeah!
Always a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
We tried so hard to find the rights to that.
Oh, to this day, nobody's
claimed it. Yeah. It was like a Louisiana department.
So what else is happening in 1990? So sense of history. You know, so George W. Bush was still governor.
Oh my God!
Barack Obama was a community organizer in the NLA.
Oh, this slideshow is too good.
Barack, really?
Yeah. 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 Oh, that's my true. God, yeah. And so Clinton was in his second term.
That's that first
time. Some of those things. You know, Brett and Jen were just released from Home for the Cute. Canada got a new province. This sounds funny. Yeah, that was, maybe this one. The Dow was climbing in the sky. Bill Gates was worth Europe got a hip new currency. You know, we flushed VC's budget
through Mac.
Dozens of billions per year through wacky companies, and here's a couple of them. Techno paranoids concocted the biggest party pooper in 1,000 years. Which it totally was.
Oh, this is a riot.
A focusing event.
Yeah, Dooley went to beta. Which is true. You know, an important documentary on the future of marketing came out. And now it's happened. And it goes, you know, Uchi's got 1.6 million, and it's every 20 minutes on Twitter, no matter what. And market conversation is like, no, nothing but marketing bullshitters of 46 billion, and a million, rather, and some cartoons.
Oh.
Cartoons are always
more when we're just customers.
Because people sort of pause after the clue trains arrive. And I don't know, like, Richard.
Oh, this is great.
What's so good about this is the term douchebag has been used endlessly.
Yes, yes.
Constantly through this thing.
Oh, that is so funny.
And there's this.
It's constantly.
So that's what we are.
Thank you for capturing that.
Oh, that was too good. I wish everyone could see that slideshow. I'll shoot pictures of it later.
Are you going to do that for the panel?
Yeah, that was
a thing. Just the way to say it.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
You'll have people up.
Absolutely.
There aren't going to be that many people there, unfortunately, because it's the end of the show.
What is the closest bathroom?
I'm going to bail out of this right now, and we're going to go back into the defrag session and prepare for the final Clue Train Manifesto session at 4 or whenever it is. Well, it's coming up soon.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.